As I said earlier, today is our annual business celebration, which we do in lieu of an annual business meeting. The wonderful thing about our church is we celebrate. We honor and celebrate. We don't have a knockdown, drag out argument. And we have great leaders who have been serving for many of them a lot of years. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So today we're going to talk about celebrating and honoring. That's the title of the message. If you want to, turn to Romans chapter 12, either on your iPhone or in your Bible. There's a Bible underneath the seat in front of you probably, so you can find one if you don't have one. While you're turning to Romans chapter 12, there was a Sunday school teacher. Might be my wife. She's back there doing children's church today. A Sunday school teacher was discussing the Ten Commandments with her 5 and 6-year-olds. And after explaining the commandment to honor thy father and mother, she asked, "Is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters?" One little boy, without missing a beat, raised his hand and said, "I know, I know! Thou shalt not kill." Romans chapter 12, verse 10. "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor." Everybody say honor.
Honor.
"In honor, giving preference to one another." Honor's a big deal. We talk about a culture of honor here. We've been endeavoring to develop a culture of honor here. I would like to think we've made some progress. I would also be amiss, I think, if I thought we'd arrived. We have some things that would be good for us to do and progress that it would be good for us to make if we want to have a culture of honor. I do believe that if we have a culture of honor, that it will reflect God well and it will speak well to the community. And I'm going to talk about that just a little bit in addition to some things that we need to talk about for the business end of things today. We also live in a day where dishonoring others is not only socially acceptable, it seems to be celebrated. Maybe I feel so strongly about honor because my name contains within it the Greek word for honor. It's where my name comes from. Timothy, Timeo or Timo, is honor, and the T-H-Y on the end refers to God, honoring God. Mom and Dad named me Timothy, which honestly was kind of weird when I was a kid. See, Dad's name's Jack, and Mom's name's Joanne, and my brother's name's Jeff. So they all had the same initials, J-H, and Dad even had cars with license plates on them that had J-H on the license plate, and then there's me. My brother used to give me a hard time. He used to say that I was adopted. Yeah, you don't have a J-H because you were adopted. And on top of that, I was supposed to be a girl. Yeah, it didn't work out. My wife's happy that it didn't work out, but yeah, I had some issues growing up. Thank goodness for Sozo. Anyway, seriously, God's ideas are always better than ours. You know that, right? And Lisa's glad that I was a boy. God's ideas are better. And I like my name, and I have lived a life trying to, in some way, fulfill that honoring God thing. I want to be honorable toward God. For a long time, I didn't know that being honorable toward God and not being honorable toward other people was not being honorable toward God. Over the last decade or so, I've really begun to understand much better the importance of honoring those who aren't as easy to honor as God. How many of you know there are some people that aren't as easy to honor? Honoring God's easy because He's God, and He's always right, and He always loves us, and He's always good to us. So then we read other verses in the Bible, like Romans 13 and verse 7. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes, to whom taxes are due. Customs, to whom customs are due. Fear, to whom fear is due. Honor, to whom honor is due. Okay. If they're due honor, I can do it. Huh. I like this verse. It gives me that sense that I have a choice. That render part, you know, rendered to those it's due. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself until I run into the Apostle Peter. And then he messes my life up. Here's what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Peter, all people? Really? How many of you think we ought to just get a big black marker and just mark that one out? Or just change it to some people. Honor some people. The ones that's due. Honor the ones that's due. Do that. Don't, that honor all people thing is just, love the brotherhood. I can do that. Fear God. I can do that. Honor the king. Whoa, wait a minute. Depends on who's king. I don't like that last king we elected. I'm not saying that about me, by the way. I'm just saying that's how people respond sometimes. Don't like that king. He's a bad king. I don't have to honor him. I've told you before that when Peter said, honor the king, when he wrote that, was Nero. And I've told you before how bad a guy Nero was. If you want to read something really nasty, Google Nero's behaviors. And you will be like, seriously? Like, has there been anybody much worse than that wackadoodle? That's not very honoring of me, is it? Nero had some real issues, but I'm not going to spend any time on that today either. I've talked to you about that before. And then Nero turns around and has Peter crucified. Peter decides he's not worthy of being crucified like his Lord, so he has to be crucified upside down. You know, I want to work my way back to 1 Peter 2:17 by getting a little context. So I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 9. And I'm talking about you now. So nudge that person next to you and say, he's talking about you. Peter's talking about you. This is to encourage you. This isn't to tell you how you've not made it. I know none of us are, you know, perfect, but this is to encourage you. So think about this, because here's what it says, verse 9 of 1 Peter 2. But you, I'm talking about you, everybody take your finger, point at your nose, wiggle it a few times. Yeah, there you go. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. That's the New King James Version, NKJV, not the KJV. The KJV, King James Version, says you are peculiar people. Look at your neighbor and says, oh, that makes more sense. Yeah, a lot of you, yeah, I got that. You are a special people that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's who you are. You've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are you all the way into the light? Well, we won't go into that too much. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God once you had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You're good. You got mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable, everybody say honorable, among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of his visitation. Some people have taken that day of his visitation to mean only when he returns, but I think the day of his visitation is any day that we are living, that he just shows up on the spot, kind of like he did with Mark in the parking lot. God's presence is just there, somebody senses it, and they recognize there's something going on here. Verse 13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, Even the 35 miles an hour in Baltimore. All right. Well, it's 45 there, though. Yeah, but now we have two stoplights, yeah. I almost ran one of those the other day. You know, that's why for several days it was red blinking light, you know, and had big signs up saying, we're going to put a light up here, you know. Yeah, but you're just creatures of habit. At least I am. So, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. By doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. By posting rebukes on Facebook, you may... No, it doesn't say that, does it? By telling somebody how awful they are, you know, it doesn't say that. It says, by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. I have trouble with that sometimes. I want to tell the guy in front of me that is driving poorly just what I think of him sometimes. I get it. As free, not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Our honorable conduct amongst unbelievers brings glory to God. I'm called, by the way, to be a vessel of honor. 2 Timothy 2:20, you can read about that there. So what's a vessel for? Well, if we put something in a vessel, we may want to keep it there, but we don't want to just keep it there. I mean, you don't put it in a vessel so that it can just stay there forever. You put it in a vessel so that the vessel helps you move it from place to place, so you can distribute it, so you can take advantage of it, so you can keep it safe until you need it, and then when you need it, it's there. We are a vessel of honor. It's not just to contain what God has given us. The purpose is to provide a way for what we carry to be carried to others. I'm a vessel of honor. I carry honor. And I will carry, by the way, whatever I'm filled with. I will carry it. If I'm filled with anger, how many of you have ever had that happen? You're not in a good mood, like God who is, and you're not doing well. I got to confess. I will confess and I will testify at the same time. The other day, I went to the vet to get my dog a refill of this stuff that we give her so she won't scratch herself to death. And we started having to double up on the medication because nothing was working, and she was getting me up like 3 times a night to go outside, but really just to scratch, and then she'd go outside and sniff around. And I think the cool air helped her feel better, but then you have to bring her back in. You can't leave her out all night. Well, I could. Well, no, I couldn't. Ask my wife. Not my problem, but it is my problem. Anyway, so we started doubling up on this medication, and she calmed right down. She was sleeping through the night. It was great. So I go in and say, hey, I need more of that medication. And then they say, well, you ran out a little. Oh, yeah, we doubled up on it. You can't do that. You can't do that. Well, why not? It worked. Your dog will die. She's 14. So I get in there, I call them and they say they're going to fill it, and then I get in there and they're not going to fill it because, well, you know, you can't do that. And now you got to see the doctor because you've been giving her, I don't want to see the vet. And we can't get you in for 3 or 4 days. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do every night? We're out of medication. She's going to scratch me to death. I was not being... good, Pastor Tim. So then I came back and got the medication later. I was kind of, you know, calmed myself down, came back. And I apologized to the lady. She says, oh, I didn't even notice. She says, you wouldn't believe how many times people get, like, frustrated because their dogs are driving them crazy or their cats or whatever. So I confessed. I apologized to her. So that's not good. I should be filled with honor. But if I am filled with frustration, my frustration is going to come out. Happens to you too, right? And if I'm filled with doubt or fear or whatever I'm filled with, it's going to come out. But if I can fill myself with honor, if I can be a vessel of honor, How good is that? I will be who I am, though, to people, because that's what's inside of me. So remember, Jesus said that our behavior toward the least of these was the same as our behavior toward him. Matthew 25. Now, some of you know, we talked about a guy named Danny Silk here a few times. Danny Silk wrote a book called The Culture of Honor. And it's really good. And I've not only read the book multiple times, I've listened to the book multiple times, and I've listened to a four-part teaching that I have of his multiple times, because the honor thing's a big deal to me. And a while back, Danny was preparing some other piece of the whole educational puzzle that he puts together with the culture of honor stuff, and I think he was getting ready to do a class, and he wanted to do kind of a promo video of it, and he just happened to be talking to Bill Johnson, kind of doing a little promo video thing, and he said to Bill, "How would you define honor?" And Bill Johnson said, "That's where I treat you like I would Jesus. Honor is where I treat you like I would Jesus. Honor is when we treat people like we would treat Jesus." That's heavy. And I'm not sure I do that very well sometimes, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And Danny remarked, "Phew." He said, when he said that, I thought to myself, I didn't even need to write a book. Like, that just takes it all right. That just covers it all right there. It's powerful. Imagine treating everybody like we'd treat Jesus. I know they don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But you don't do it for them alone. It's done as unto him, and we do it because that's who we are. That's who we're called to be. As we honor, we create a momentum that people can get caught up in, and that momentum will silence the foolishness of ignorant men. That's the way to silence the foolishness of ignorant men, by being honoring. Because they'll observe your good works. While I'm talking about honor, I want to briefly think about honor and its effect on you specifically, not just us as the people of God. Listen to this verse that Peter also shares in 1 Peter 3:7. "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together for the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Yep, all the wives are thinking, yep, I know men that need to hear that. Men, our lack of honor toward our wife can hinder our prayers. Isn't that interesting? I don't know how to get my head around that completely, but that's what Peter says. I think it's hard for us to see what God's doing when our eyes aren't lifted up and we aren't being people of honor. And if we can't honor the people around us, I don't think we can truly fully honor God. I know that this is specific to marriage, but I think when you put it together with everything else that we've talked about so far, it's kind of clear that being a person of honor is a pathway to being powerful, where being dishonorable will hinder us in our lives and our ministries. You know, God doesn't tell us to do this stuff just so he can see whether we're going to jump through the hoops. He tells us to do stuff because he wants us to progress, to do well, to get to move forward successfully. Here at Bethel Church, again, we've been working on this culture of honor for a long time. When people are introduced, we often encourage people to stand or to clap, put their hands together, and we do this to honor whoever is ministering and so also to honor God. I think it's honoring God when we do that. And we base that in part on the Matthew 10:41 scripture that says, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." When you honor someone who gets up to speak or gets up to share or gives a testimony or whatever, what they just shared is it becomes more of yours. You start to take it on. Does this make sense? Y'all okay? This is better news than I think you're realizing right now. You're thinking too hard. I want to give you another verse to go with that verse. We have already used that verse to establish some things here. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, everybody say honored, all members rejoice with it. Yeah. So when we honor people, when we recognize people, when we thank people, when we show our appreciation to people, that's a good thing. Today, I wish my wife were out here, but it was her week to be in the back. I'm so glad that she does that, though. She wants to help out with the kids. She likes it. It's a good thing. Encourage her today. Just tell her, thank you for babysitting the kids that are like your grandkids anyway. Didn't have a lot of them today. That's okay. It doesn't say if one member suffer, by the way, that we all might suffer. It really means that, how many of you notice this? When someone's going through something in the church, we all do feel it. A lot of times, the more we become family, the more it's going to be like that. The more we become a body, the more it's going to be like that. So those who consider themselves connected to this body, I think they go through stuff with people. But the other side of it is those who feel connected with this body, with this group of believers, with this house, this Bethel, house of God, they should feel also honored and also glad when certain people are honored or when certain things happen. It becomes ours. It becomes part of our inheritance. So, today, I want to do something very, I don't know, honoring. I don't think we should ever miss an opportunity to honor those who are among us, those who serve. And so I want to celebrate those who have been confirmed to serve on the boards of our church. Instead of doing it by board, which is what I normally do, and just have everybody stand up and we all go, woohoo, I'm actually going to talk about them. Danger, danger. Danger, 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 Lone Ranger. And I'm going to do it in alphabetical order. So Bill Ames is first. Bill Ames is first because his last name is Ames. I think I got this in alphabetical order, by the way. My wife didn't do this, so it may be out of whack. But Bill has been confirmed to be one of the deacons of our church. And he's been responsible for a lot more than some of you will ever know. Probably more than I even know. He's done some things. We had some issues with our property. And Bill was out here with big machinery, making things look better and fixing what they said they were going to fix that they didn't fix. And because he was around, some of the things that probably wouldn't have got fixed because he went out there and made sure those guys knew they were going to fix that and took care of it. Some of you will remember we had the train that dumped a bunch of stuff here and we ended up with the EPA hanging around for 6 months. Bill does a lot of stuff like that. I don't know whether any of you have been on the west side, but we've got a thing in the ground there that allows water to go into it, you know, and helps take the water away. And Bill's done a lot to make sure the water gets away from this church. We used to have a horrible problem with those little round ball bugs. And they would be, this whole carpet over here would be, Joan remembers, the whole carpet would have nothing but little, what do they call those things? Little critters, ball bugs. Roly-polies, yeah. There's another name for them. I can't remember it right now. A technical name. We had them all over the place. They aren't near the problem they used to be because Bill got all the water away from the church. That's the kind of stuff he does. So, takes a lot of time and energy. There's some things stuck in the ground over here now to keep the plow guys from not knowing where something is so they don't hit it. He just does all this kind of stuff. It's just really good. More often than not, Bill's ahead of me on stuff. If I ask him, he's ready to go, but he's more often than not ahead of me. So I think you should take a second and honor Bill. Why don't you give him and the Lord a big hand? Woo! Love you, Bill. Doug and Beth Bachman are not here, so I'll wait till next week to talk about them. No, I'm going to talk about them right now. Doug's been on our board of directors for quite a while, and he's been an elder, and he and Beth are elders together. Doug is this fun guy who notices stuff. He notices little stuff, and it's really funny because there are things that we might miss, but we shouldn't miss. You become kind of used to things. You walk in, and you see something that's not quite right, and you get used to it. Doug doesn't get used to it. He notices it, and he notices stuff that visitors might notice and wouldn't be the greatest. More than a few times, he has sat quietly through a whole meeting, only get to the end and say, by the way, or hey, and gets our attention, and it's really good. And Beth has been an amazing planner, and she's made a lot of events and things easier and better because that's just something that's on her heart. And they are sweet people. I love them dearly. I wish they were here. Maybe they're watching by Facebook. I have no idea. No, they're not. Well, that's all right. Maybe they'll watch this in hindsight. So let's give Doug and Beth a hand. Just thank the Lord for them a minute. In alphabetical order, Matt and Lisa Davis, and they are deacons. Lisa heads up our children's ministry and tries to get everything organized. Pray for Lisa. She's not feeling well today. Couldn't be here. And pray for Lisa because children's ministry could use a few more volunteers, and we got lots of things to figure out with that is over the next couple weeks, and then they're going on vacation, so then we got to operate without them, which is going to kill me, I'm sure. And Matt is my number one. I call him my geekin because he makes some of the technical stuff work for us. You know, we rarely notice when technology works because it's working. Nobody ever says, wow, this is the third week in a row the sound system has just been perfect. But one little noise, one little feedback, one little thing, and everybody's looking in the back like, what are you doing? I've noticed that over all my years in all my churches. You know, the poor sound guy always, nobody ever, you know, pats him on the back for the sound being good 90% of the time or 99% of the time or whatever it is. They just notice that smidgen of, oh, that hurt my ears. Whatever. You know, it's a hard job. And I just appreciate their faithfulness. They're doing a couple of the tougher things in the church right now. They really are. So I think we need to be very thankful for Matt and Lisa. Can we do that right now? Yeah, come on. Cord and Corey Earhart. Cord's been on our board of directors and served as our vice president for many years. And he and Corey are elders. And they're very prophetic and they're very sweet. And they'll treat you good. At least Corey will. No. Oh, Cord's a good man. But he does not suffer fools well, which makes me wonder why he's still here, because I'm the pastor. But nevertheless, he's more of a sweetheart than he lets on sometime. You know, Cord, by the way, became the vice president because he missed a board meeting and got voted in. So that's never been able to get out of it since. That's the way it works around here. And if something were to happen to me, Cord would be the man who would lead this church if they had to replace me. I was waiting for that. But I got to tell you, I truly trust that Cord would do a good job, and I can't think of anybody that I would trust to do a better job of making sure you are okay and that we'd get the leadership thing fixed if I suddenly couldn't do it. Corey is now our church secretary, as most of you know, too, and administrator, bookkeeper, chase Pastor Tim around to make sure he doesn't forget stuff, person. And she's got a lot going on. They've got a lot going on. You know, they got three kids, but you know, over the years, she's always been joyfully willing to do anything she could, and she's doing a great job. I think this is true of everybody I've spoken about so far, but these two people also have been a great personal encouragement to Lisa and I. So let's give them a little bit of love. Yeah, come on. John and Bree Pfeiffer are elders in this church. And John and Bree, you've been fun to watch because God's been blessing them all the years that John's been here. And then he just drags this girl in and she just gets right in the middle of everything. And now they're doing that family thing. They're going to grow the church one way or the other. That's what they're going to do.
We're done it too.
He prophesied they're done it too. That if he misses, it's not because he's a false prophet. It's because she has more control over that situation than he does. I'm sure of that. I told that to my son, too, by the way. He and his wife are expecting their third now. He was like, "Well, we're done it, too." And I said, looked at his wife, and I said, "That's up to you, sweetie." So I told her. Because I know he likes you too much. You know, they've been a great blessing to me personally also. And John and Bree have worked with the youth. And let me just say, there are going to be some new opportunities around the corner. Some other things that you guys will get to know John a little bit better as the Lord does some things that I think will come. He probably is going to be doing a little something in the way of a teaching thing that some people can do in a small group kind of a setting. And if you want to be involved in that, you'll be able to. So let's give the Lord a praise for them. We love these guys. Reverend John now, because he's got a license. Jeremiah and Alyssa Grevy. Jeremiah's on our board of directors, and Alyssa and he are deacons. A couple of weeks back, I mentioned that Jeremiah does our parking lot, and he had gotten it ready, and then John made the joke, you know, that, well, at least he's good for something. And I said, no, actually, we didn't pay him, so he's good for nothing. But we all had a good laugh, but Jeremiah has done a ton of stuff around here, coming out here when no one else was here just to fix a toilet or who knows what. And he still never billed us all these years for the grass mowing and the snow removal. And that's been a real blessing. And Alyssa also does a lot. You may have noticed that they have four kids. And it's kind of interesting that I know Alyssa's schedule. I know Jeremiah and Alyssa's schedule. They're going four different places and there's only two of them sometimes. It's crazy. And yet Alyssa often finds time to clean the sanctuary, and smartly she gets the kids involved a little bit, although that can be more work than help. But you know, if you've got kids, you understand what I'm saying there. They're always among the last to leave whenever we're doing like an event over here in the evening. They make sure everything's cleaned up, and they've just been a real, again, special blessing to Lisa and I. So let's give the Lord a praise for them. Kathy March is a deaconess. And Kathy is our church yard sale queen. And she's literally raised thousands of dollars that have, you know, allowed us to buy things when we've needed them, like a keyboard or this or that. By the way, we pray about our keyboard. We still got a thing with that. It's not working, and I don't know how we're going to get it to work, but the keyboard players have been kind enough just to hit that key and have it go thwack, and it doesn't work. She's another one of those people, some of you relate to this because it's true of you too. You've been here for a long, 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 long time. She was here before I got here. And I didn't mind when I got here that some people decided to leave here because I wasn't Larry Goodwin, who some people were hoping that I would maybe be. And I didn't seem like Larry, act like Larry, talk like Larry, walk like Larry, do everything that Larry did. And some people, I think, were, you know, not that they didn't connect to me when I got here, and that doesn't offend me, you know, when I first came years ago. But even though I'm not to everybody's liking, not everybody's cup of tea, Kathy stayed. Some of you stayed through all the years and decided I was okay, or decided you'd stay until I finally got okay, feeling it was your ministry. I'm not sure which, but. And so I feel extra honored and blessed that she's been around all this time. So let's give Kathy a little love here. Mark needs to get going, so I probably better get to the Schnitzkys. But it was alphabetical order, Mark. What can I say? Mark and Melissa are elders in this church. And Melissa has been one of the group of people that I just mentioned with Kathy. She stuck around. In spite of me, maybe. I'm not sure which. Maybe she just kind of got... Did I just finally wear you down? Is that what it was? You decided you wouldn't leave because, all right, he's not going to leave, so I'll just stay anyway. And when she and Mark got married, you know, a lot of times when people get married, they one comes from one church and one comes from another church, and they go and they find their own church. And I don't even have anything against it. Probably a good idea in some ways. But they decided that this was going to be where they would come. And that also is very honoring to me, and I'm very thankful for that. And I've watched what God's done with Mark, and both of these are powerful people, and God has done a ton of stuff through them both. And you've heard Mark's testimonies. He got a lot of crazy things going on. So, you know, God took him from being a standard Catholic altar boy kind of a guy to fire and light crazy wild man out on the scene, you know, praying for people anywhere and everywhere. And they've even seen someone raised from the dead. So that's pretty powerful stuff. Pretty powerful stuff. They bless the church with their time and talents, and we are better off for it. Let's give the Lord a praise for them. Just a few more. Joyce Stanton is on our board of directors now, and Joyce has also been encouraging to me in a lot of different ways in our church. She gives everybody hope of a raise. That's always good. Because if God does it for her, he can do it for you. And more of you should go with her on a Fearless Fun Lovers deal sometime.
I'd like to see a guy one time,
a guy. Suck it up and be brave. Okay, yeah, that's what she's saying back there. Yeah. She does bring a great perspective, I believe, to our leadership team. And she's always that person who's willing to push us out of our comfort zones and suggest that it won't hurt us to do anything new. And so, again, we are blessed to have her on our board of directors. I think she gives a perspective that maybe just the rest of us guys who have been on there for a long time don't always have. And so we are blessed to have her. Let's give the Lord a praise for Joyce. Woo-hoo! Harold and Joan Steinmetz. So Mark started doing what I was going to do already today, earlier in the service, and he mentioned, you know, these two folks are elders in our church, and they do a lot of praying. And see, I'm not the only one who has notices. And that praying thing is a good. It means a lot. Prayer is powerful, and their intercessions make a huge difference for what God is doing in the lives of individuals in the church and the life of our church. They've also been, you know, small group leaders and done different things with different groups of people, made a lot of people feel like they were part of this house. And so that's a big deal, and I still encourage all of you, pray about what you might be able to do to help people feel connected to Bethel Church, because people need to have the life of a church. And so if you can get involved in some kind of a small group, or you can create some kind of a small group where people can hang, that would be awesome. And it's a great way for people to get involved. Anyway, I really appreciate you guys. They not only pray every Wednesday afternoon, but now they pray on Wednesday evenings once a month. So they double dip on that day. So we are blessed to have the Steinmetzes in our house. Let's give the Lord a praise. Two more. Marlene Sutton is a deaconess. She's back there like, he's going to make them clap. She's not the kind of person that wants all that. That's just not who Marlene is. And she's an organizer. She's a behind-the-scenes kind of a person. She's fully capable of being out front and doing things. She's very capable in a lot of different ways. But, you know, a lot of bulletin boards and painting and things get done because Marlene wants to see them get done. And she notices those things, too. And that's a big deal. And it really is a big help. I can always count on her to organize our work days, which, by the way, we will be having. I should have written down when. And I'm really going to encourage us to have a big work day this year. We got lots and lots of stuff that if we could have a big turnout for a big work day, we could get some things done. And she's always got more stuff for us to do than we have workers to do it on work day. So, I just really appreciate all that she's done. She's never afraid to jump in and help out, even with the most kind of mundane, stupid, not important seeming tasks, she'll get them done. So let's give the Lord praise for Marlene. And then last, by alphabetical order, is our newest deacon. Dave became a member of the deacon board because we confirmed him to that. And by the way, it was unanimous this year for all of our people. But, you know, Dave became noticeable as someone to ask to serve on the deacon board because Dave was deaconing. He's a deaker. He noticed stuff in the hallway over there needed done. And he goes, shouldn't you? Yeah, we probably should, but I forget about it. Out of sight, out of mind, you know. And Dave notices that kind of stuff. And he started just jumping in. We're going to go over to our fellowship hall, youth room, after this service. And we are going to see a recently touched up and looking better youth room. We first painted it, and then I added a chair rail. He painted below the chair rail, and the room really looks good. It really does. And, you know, he's patched and he's painted, and he's done a lot of things. And the other thing that I'm excited about is that he's excited about the DNA of our church. You know, there were deacons mentioned in the Bible, and then there was the one called Philip. And I think Dave might be a Philip in the making. Because, you know, Philip not only took care of the stuff that deacons were supposed to take care of, but he got excited about the supernatural. And as a result, he got to take a plane air ride. Not an airplane ride, a plane air ride, because he was in one place and then he was translated to another. And he was a guy who had miracles and stuff connected to him. And he had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. Do you want some? No, he probably not at this point anymore. No more daughters. We'd be fine. Stick with what he's got. But I'm just very thankful that he was able to get here and feel like that and get back here, really, because Dave was here years ago. Dave's a member of this church from years and years and years ago. And if you don't know, if you're a member of our church, you're always welcomed back. You're always wanted as a member. We want you to be, you know, we'll reinstate your membership because that's what we want to do. So I am very thankful that God led Dave back here, and I think we should give the Lord praise for him. Let me wind this up just by saying I could spend time on just about every single person in this room. I appreciate all of you. Today was just the business meeting day, so we picked on those people in particular. There are several people in this room who have served on the boards, like the Florences. The Carneses aren't here today, but they've served. I was trying to think who else. I should have written it down. The point is, I am truly blessed for the people that are here. And you might look around and you might say, well, there aren't as many people here as there used to be. Yeah, I know. I know. And that's okay. That really is okay. It won't last that way forever. God's got plans, and I'm confident in what God's going to do. Rome wasn't built in a day. So it would also be almost impossible for me to... Well, let's just put it this way. You guys wouldn't appreciate it if I started just calling everybody out and thanking everybody in the room because the food would get cold. So for that reason, I won't call on everybody today. But if you didn't plan to eat with us, that's all right. Come over. There'll be enough. And sit a spell. See if you can fellowship with one another. Sometimes over food, we become even more family than we can any other way. That's why the Bible literally says they ate from house to house. There's times when over food, we can connect with people in a way that we can't connect any other time. And if we start to run out of food, I will go find some fishes and loaves and we'll make it happen. We'll figure something out. So I just thank you for being part of what we're doing here. And if you're watching by Facebook and you're anywhere nearby, please, we'd love to have you be part of what we're doing here. And I believe that while Facebook is handy and while we can stream live over it, there's something important about what we do when we gather together and worshiping him and connecting to each other. He didn't think of church so he could just have a religious organization. He thought of church so he could have family. So thank you to this congregation and for many of you who have become, for many years now, some of you, my family. And I really appreciate that. Lisa and I love you guys so much. All right, let's all stand up. We're going to close in prayer. There'll be some people that, and some have already walked out and headed over that direction. They know how this goes. There'll be some people who will have to stir a few things. My wife made some soup, so it's going to have to be stirred up a little bit. And when we get everything ready, when we get over there, so you can just head over there and chit-chat. And when everything's ready, I'll pray for the food again. I know some of you have to go. It's okay. I saw Mark run off already. So I'll eat his soup. That sounds good to me. And anyway, I just, again, want to say thank you for being part of this house. We love you guys. So Father, bless these people. Bless these that are called by you. Every bit as called as me to serve and to be part of what you're doing here. I thank you, Lord, that in these days you're making that real to more than just our church, that we're all called and we have to hear your voice and know your calling and know where you want us to be. And I ask you, Lord, to fill this church not just so it can be full and not just so we can look good out in the parking lot. Fill this church, Lord, for your glory, for your name, for your kingdom. There are parts of us that are missing, Lord, and we want to see you better by seeing those parts of you that are supposed to be part of this house. So we bless you and thank you, Lord. We look forward to our time of fellowship, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.